Let's read together Numbers chapter 15. In this chapter, we have some further Old Testament laws concerning the various offerings, laws concerning unintentional as well as defiant sins, and the law concerning adding tassels to the fringe of your garments. Let's read verses 1 through 21. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you have come into the land you are to inhabit, which I am giving to you, and you shall make an offering by fire to the Lord, a burnt offering or a sacrifice to fulfill a vow, or as a freewill offering, or in your appointed feasts to make a sweet aroma to the Lord from the herd or the flock, then he who presents his offering to the Lord shall bring a grain offering of 1/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with 1/4 of a hin of oil, and 1/4 of a hin of wine as a drink offering. You shall prepare with the burnt offering or the sacrifice for each lamb. Or for a ram, you shall prepare as a grain offering 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with 1/3 of a hin of oil. And as a drink offering, you shall offer 1/3 of a hin of wine as a sweet aroma to the Lord. And when you prepare a young bull as a burnt offering, or as a sacrifice to fulfill a vow, or as a peace offering to the Lord, then shall be offered with the young bull a grain offering of 3/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with 1/2 a hin of oil. And you shall bring as the drink offering 1/2 a hin of wine as an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. Thus it shall be for each young bull, for each ram, or for each lamb or young goat, according to the number that you prepare, so you shall do with everyone according to their number. All who are native born shall do these things in this manner, in presenting an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. And if a stranger dwells with you, or whoever is among you throughout your generations, and would present an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord, just as you do, so shall he do. One ordinance shall be for you of the assembly, and for the stranger who dwells with you, an ordinance forever throughout your generations, as you are, so shall the stranger be before the Lord. One law and one custom shall be for you and for the stranger who dwells with you." Again the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land to which I bring you, then it shall be when you eat of the bread of the land that you shall offer up a heave offering to the Lord. You shall offer up a cake of the first of your ground meal as a heave offering of the threshing floor, so shall you offer it up. Of the first of your ground meal you shall give to the Lord a heave offering throughout your generations." Let's begin our study of this chapter, Numbers chapter 15, with some background notes. When the law was given at Mount Sinai, instructions concerning the various offerings were given. Now here in Numbers chapter 15, we see that when they entered the land, supplementary grain and drink offerings were to be made along with the burnt offerings and peace offerings. These supplementary offerings would certainly express gratitude for the grain and the grapes of the good land that God was giving them. Now, the recurring phrase, sweet or soothing aroma, here in this section of Numbers chapter 15, emphasizes that these offerings were given as an act of worship that was pleasing to the Lord. And they certainly picture or typify the perfect sacrifice of Christ, don't they? In verses 14 through 16 of Numbers 15, we see that these laws of sacrifice applied not only to the children of Israel, but also to the Gentiles among them. Certainly the spiritual lesson here is that there is one basis of salvation for everyone, whether Jew or Gentile, namely the sacrifice of Christ. He died on the cross for the sins of the world. All of the Old Testament sacrifices picture the person and work of Christ in some way. In verses 17 through 21, we have a regulation pertaining to the first fruits of the harvest when the children of Israel came into the land. They were to make a cake or a loaf of bread from the first cutting of grain and offer it to the Lord as a heave offering. Now, the idea in the heave offering was lifting the offering up and presenting it before the Lord. Certainly, there is a lesson here for us in this offering of the first fruits. What are we giving to the Lord? Are we giving Him the first of our time and money and talent? Or does the Lord just get the leftovers and token amounts? We need to move on now to our doctrinal teaching points. So, doctrinal point number one, God deals graciously with the unintentional sins of His people. God deals graciously with the unintentional sins of his people. Verses 22 through 29. If you sin unintentionally and do not observe all these commandments which the Lord has spoken to Moses, all that the Lord has commanded you by the hand of Moses from the day the Lord gave commandment and onward throughout your generations, then it will be, if it is unintentionally committed, without the knowledge of the congregation, that the whole congregation shall offer one young bull as a burnt offering, as a sweet aroma to the Lord, with its grain offering and its drink offering, according to the ordinance, and one kid of the goats as a sin offering. So the priest shall make atonement for the whole congregation of the children of Israel, and it shall be forgiven them, for it was unintentional. They shall bring their offering, an offering made by fire to the Lord, and their sin offering before the Lord for their unintended sin. It shall be forgiven the whole congregation of the children of Israel and the stranger who dwells among them, because all the people did it unintentionally. And if a person sins unintentionally, then he shall bring a female goat in its first year as a sin offering. So the priest shall make atonement for the person who sins unintentionally, when he sins unintentionally before the Lord, to make atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven him. You shall have one law for him who sins unintentionally, for him who is native-born among the children of Israel, and for the stranger who dwells among them. You'll notice that we have unintentional sins of the congregation, verses 22 through 26, and unintentional sins for the individual in verses 27 through 29. Now, we also read about unintentional sins in Leviticus chapter 4, but there it is sins of commission. Here it is sins of omission. Suppose you unintentionally brought the wrong sacrifice for a burnt offering. That would be an unintentional sin of commission. Suppose you unintentionally forgot to come to a required feast or ceremony. That would be an unintentional sin of omission. In either case, God was gracious. As long as the appropriate sin offering was brought, the sin was forgiven. But notice, a blood sacrifice was required. God did not just sweep unintentional sins under the rug. He did not just forget about it. No, the life of an animal was required, emphasizing the seriousness of sin and also that God's standards do not change. Sin committed unintentionally is still sin. And the same is true today. Suppose you're insensitive to some situation and you do or say something that offends someone, but you didn't mean it. It was an unintentional sin of commission. Now, we've all sinned that way, right? We should have known better. We should have been more sensitive. Well, what should we do? We confess it to the Lord and do whatever we can to make it right. God deals graciously with unintentional sins of commission, and the same is true with unintentional sins of omission. Suppose we hear about a special need in the church, and we pledge to give to that need and pray for that need, but then we completely forget about it. Not intentionally, but unintentionally. It happens. Would you agree? It's an unintentional sin of omission. Well, what do we do? Again, we confess it to the Lord and do what we can to make it right. God deals graciously with the unintentional sins of his people. Doctrine point number two. God deals justly with the defiant sins of his people. God deals justly with the defiant sins of his people. Verses 30 through 36. But the person who does anything presumptuously, whether he is native-born or a stranger, that one brings reproach on the Lord, and he shall be cut off from among his people, because he has despised the word of the Lord and has broken his commandment. That person shall be completely cut off. His guilt shall be upon him. Now, while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. And those who found him gathering sticks brought him to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation. They put him under guard because it had not been explained what should be done to him. Then the Lord said to Moses, "The man must surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones outside the camp." So as the Lord commanded Moses, all the congregation brought him outside the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died. In these verses, we have the law for defiant or presumptuous sins, And a particular example is given, namely a man working on the Sabbath. Illustration. When children spill their milk on the table, it can either be a mistake or defiance, right? If it's an unintentional mistake, we tell the children to be more careful and ask them to help clean up the mess, right? But if it's defiance and they purposely overturn the glass and spill the milk, then righteous discipline is required. And this is true in the way God deals with his people. He graciously forgives unintentional sins, but he must deal severely with defiant sins. The man gathering wood on the Sabbath was committing a defiant sin. God's law had clearly declared that no work was to be done on the Sabbath. The man knew this law and defiantly disobeyed. This kind of sin God must discipline severely, then and today. This man had to be stoned to death. This was not unfair or harsh discipline. It was just discipline. And today, when God lays a defiant, disobedient believer on a bed of sickness, or even takes a believer home to heaven early, as he did in the case of Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5, this is just discipline. God is not to be blamed. This is just discipline. Praise the Lord, a believer's sins are all eternally forgiven because of Christ's death on the cross. But God must discipline sin in his family as our Heavenly Father. God deals justly with the defiant sins of his people. Practical application. Do whatever it takes to remember God's word. Do whatever it takes to remember God's word. Verses 37 through 41. Again, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel. Tell them to make tassels on the corners of their garments throughout their generations, and to put a blue thread in the tassels of the corners. And you shall have the tassel, that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, and that you may not follow the harlotry to which your own heart and your own eyes are inclined, and that you may remember and do all my commandments and be holy for your God. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God." The Jews were to put tassels on the hems of their outer garments to remind them of the Lord's commands and their responsibility to follow these commands. The blue cord or thread was to symbolize the heavenly origin of God's laws. Now, it might sound like a silly law to us, but not from God's point of view. These tassels were always visible and a constant reminder of God's word. In the same way, we should do whatever it takes to remember God's word. Let me ask you, do you have a memory verse program, for example? Here's an idea. What about saying a verse of scripture before every meal that you eat, and you can't repeat a verse for a whole month? You know, you'd begin to memorize a lot of God's word by heart, wouldn't you? And what a blessing that would be. Now, maybe some of you can share some other ideas to remember God's word. In any case, do whatever it takes to remember God's word.